Just laughing here because I'm looking at some of the limericks that we're getting in for the competition. Just to remind you, we have a pair of premium level tickets to give away at the end of tomorrow's show for the big Clare Kilkenny All-Ireland Hurling semi-final. That is with thanks to Supermax and the Plaza Group, the perfect pit stop on your journey to Croker with Obama Plaza, Moneygall and Portlaoise Plaza on the M7, and the Galway Plaza and the Kinnegad Plaza on the M6. What we're looking for from you is a limerick. To complete the limerick and send it in with your name and location to 086 1800 964, our text and WhatsApp number. We're giving you the prompt line, the first line of the limerick, and you have to finish it, but be creative, finish it in whatever way you see fit. So the limerick starts on Saturday, Clare face the Cats. Finish the rest of it yourself and send it in to us via text or WhatsApp on 086 1800 964. And we've one here from Noreen Flynn in Ennis who says, on Saturday, Clare face the Cats. The excitement is driving us bats. Great lads, one and all. We'll all have a ball with another win to add to our stats. Patrick Warren in Lissy Casey's been in touch. He says, on Saturday, Clare face the Cats. 36 titles to our four. They're just old stats. They may have TJ and Wiley General Cody, but we've King Brian's men led by Captain Tony. That's why come full time, the banner will chant. Thanks very much for that, Patrick. You're all in the mix. And then this one here. Slight touch of violence to this one from Patrice in Quinn. On Saturday, Clare face the Cats, and I hope Clare kill them like rats and get to the final where we'll all be behind them and show Cody that our Brian's boys aren't prats. Thanks very much. Michael Keeney and Shannon, on Saturday, Clare face the Cats, but Clare are going to be rats. When they take to the field, they will not yield till the Cats succumb to the rats. And last one for now. On Saturday, Clare face the Cats, and we're off with our flags and hats to roar on the banner and scare off the Cats to get over the line, and Tony Kelly flying with a goal and nine. Well, I tell you what, if Tony Kelly gets 1-9 on Saturday, I think we'll all be happy, won't we? Keep your limericks coming in. They start on Saturday, Clare face the Cats. Finish it yourself to 086 1800 964. That's the same number to get in touch to send in any food related questions you have for Chef Randy Lewis. We have two €20 vouchers to give away for Randetti's restaurant in Lahinch. Lovely restaurant and lovely location. So if you'd like to be heading along there with a €20 voucher at St. Randy, here, take that and give me some grub, then send in your food related question to 086 1800 964 and I'll put them to Randy towards the end of the programme. And food related, the wide variety of areas and topics within food. Maybe you have a question about a recipe that you're trying to perfect and it isn't quite working, or any other food related questions, do send them in. And the man himself is with us now for Taste of the Week, Randy Lewis from Randetti's Restaurant in Lahinch. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah.
We have a nice set of it. You're worrying about what kind of questions you might get.
No, not at all, not at all. We're eating oysters today, so I'm worried about how you're going to handle it. We got eight oysters here, and
oh my god,
some flavors, and we're going to have to get them in us. I don't know if we have any napkins here. I think I forgot those.
It's not napkins, or it's more like a bucket in case I feel a little ill.
No, I think you're fine. I think you're fine. I think you like fish. So, no, it's a great morning, isn't it? It sun's out.
It really is. It's lovely outside, really sunny, which is a bit of a contrast to some recent days. And I'd imagine where you came from in Lahinch, it's absolutely beautiful. And this is exactly the kind of thing you'd want to be eating out there by the ocean front.
Absolutely. You know, it's a sunny day out in Lahinch. It's going to be a sunny weekend, and it is summer break. Officially, there's kids roaming around. My kid is roaming around. Little Sammy roaming around, getting up to mischief. So, very exciting times. Yeah, we have oysters in front of us. This comes back, I guess, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I was on my great trip across the West Coast, all the way up in Donegal, having, you know, an amazing fresh oyster, thinking that we need to showcase these a bit. And I think you expressed some interest in trying an oyster.
I did, because I mean, I like seafood, but certain types of seafood. So, you know, like, I mean, I eat lots of fish. I've had swordfish, I've eaten lobster, and it was more the shellfish I had never really touched. Also, I haven't eaten squid or anything like that, or octopus. I have a brother who's big into that, but when I see the ink on his teeth, that kind of puts me off. But was it mussels we had?
We had mussels, yeah. And you're slurping. We're going to do the same thing with this. Do you like Thai flavours?
As in Thai food?
Yeah.
Oh, I do, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, this is going to be the first flavour we're going to have going on here.
I have a message here from producer Melissa saying, I've never had an oyster, good luck. I'm hoping I'm not going to need this. So is that pesto luck you're putting on it?
Okay, so this is a bit of a Thai dressing in this.
Okay.
This wouldn't be traditional to the oysters. It's definitely a dressing you could put on oysters. you can actually put it on a lot of different things. You can put it on a salad. So in this dressing, quickly, I'll run through it with you. I got some brown sugar, a lot of lime. Okay. I got some fresh coriander, some fresh chili, and some fish sauce. Very simple. This dressing is good for salads, and we're going to try it on the...
Well, as per usual, from the visual aesthetic point of view, this looks wonderful. Randy's is well prepared. Lovely plate with the 8 oysters lying around it.
Okay.
And slices of lime there as well.
You're going to grab your oyster. Let's be careful with all the equipment we've got around us.
Okay.
So now you're going to turn it. Turn it, and you're going to use it like a shovel. So
like a shovel.
I'll go first, yeah?
Yeah. That's some serious slurping going on
now,
there.
Now, I didn't get a chomp in there.
Is it chewy or what?
Chewy,
what,
yeah. You're supposed to chew them. Take three chews. Take three chews on it.
Three
You're actually going to enjoy that. You're going to enjoy that.
Here we go. It's now or never.
There we go.
I think I'm more swallowed than chewed.
You're scared of what's going to go on. So let's.
I get the fishy taste though. That was actually quite nice.
Let's kick it up a notch. Well, that could be the fish sauce in there. So let's have one all natural. We should have had that at the start. This is one we're going to chew up. And
the things I do for this show.
I must be honest with you. I haven't tried oysters very much in my life. I haven't really shucked very many oysters in my life. Would you believe? But I have acquired a taste for them.
Yeah, you were saying that the quality of the ones in Donegal were absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you know, they're selling for 60 euros a kilo. And they're selling them abroad for 60 euros a kilo.
Wowzers.
And that's like...
Would you even get that many in a kilo? Because the shell itself would
you
weigh
get
enough.
Eight. 7 or 8 in a kilo. So they're selling them to Singapore. A lot of them are shipped overseas. Ireland has an amazing oyster going into Asia. I've talked to a few oyster companies and they're shipping overseas, you know, for 50, 60, 70 euros a kilo.
Okay.
Big money. Let's...
Can I just ask you though, before I eat this, are you using me as a guinea pig? Would you ever eat an oyster with no sauce or anything on it?
Well, I have one right here.
Okay.
So let's put a little bit of salt on there. A little bit of salt
and
pepper.
You want to grab
some salt and pepper?
Yeah. Sprinkle me a little bit.
Some salt, some pepper. There you go. Try that. And we're gonna get this one in our mouth. We're gonna take a couple chews. You like the last ones? Try this one.
Okay.
Move it around with your tongue.
I am. It just feels funny.
It feels funny, but it's nice, very mellow. These are Kelly's oysters, just in Galway.
It reminds me of the smell of seaweed. It's probably not surprising given where they came from. It actually wasn't too bad. It's just the texture is so slick and smooth.
Yeah, it's
it kind of, like, you nearly have to make a conscious effort to chew it because it could quite easily just slide down your gullet and into your stomach in like a second flat.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, the important thing, listeners, is I'm still alive to tell the tale. I've had the first two oysters I've ever had in
faces,
my life.
You can see faces right now. It's but like, I think, you know, one thing to learn about oysters is they're similar to, they're obviously in the mussel family, they're similar to mussels. I'm not a professional on oysters, but, you know, I know when to tell when they're dead. And if they're open, if they're even a slightest crack open, and those aren't ones you want to touch. You go with the smell. You want to smell like seawater, freshness. If you smell something that smells more like lake water, you want to stay away from it.
So if the oysters are open, is that, I mean... Could you get like seriously
you can get
sick?
Or, I've never had it happen to me, but I've heard it. Obviously, you hear it in school. You hear it coming up the line. Again, like I said before, I haven't worked with many oysters. I've eaten a few oysters, shucked them when I was a bit younger.
Yeah.
Deep fried them before, served them with chipotle aioli. I'll never forget that experience in Vancouver, Canada. Great chef of mine. We had an oyster competition. There was one at the hotel. Many people having their different styles of oysters and how they're going to cook them and how they're going to present them. And we panko dipped them. Panko is crusty Japanese panko breadcrumbs.
Okay.
And we deep fried them off and we served them with some chipotle aioli. They were delicious. And that was one of my first experiences with oysters.
Okay.
Creating them and making them. One of my first experiences though is when they were in a can. Smoked oysters in a can. I still like them.
Oh, are they taken? I'm assuming they're taken out of the shells and put in the can.
Yeah, taken out of shells, put in the can. You can even, you know, they're lovely. You eat them, salt and pepper them, eat them up, make a pate from it. I have before, you know, like I've definitely eaten lots from the can. As for fresh oysters, they're definitely an acquired taste that I'm acquiring.
Yeah, I've got the The lingering aftertaste in my mouth is kind of pleasing. That kind of slightly fishy taste, but with a bit of salt and pepper.
Yeah, and you can taste the sea. Obviously, the salt is.
It's like I've taken. I've taken a bite out of the sea,
but not so harsh. No. So, in storing these, you want to store them at a fridge. You know, five degrees to 1 to 2 degrees. Okay. You don't want to put ice on them, and if you have to put ice on them, there's ice underneath them just to keep them cold while they're going out to tables, or to keep them transporting real quickly. You don't want the ice to melt and the fresh water to get inside there, because obviously these are from the ocean. You don't want the fresh water and whatever else might be in our fresh water to keep it clean for us drinking. It's not good for them to be drinking.
Okay, and I must say that wasn't actually too bad at all. And with oysters, actually, saying about storing them, once their shell is open and that, and you have them in the fridge, I would imagine they don't last very long.
No,
so time is of the essence.
Yeah, you're going to want to eat them as fast as you can, you know, as fast as you can get them going.
Okay. Here comes another one.
Let's get another one going here. We're going to have a little bit of lime on this one.
Yeah, could have a little bit of that sauce as well. That was quite nice.
Do you want the sauce to taint the flavour, or do you want the sauce?
No, Randy. How dare you accuse me of that? It enhanced the flavour of the oyster.
Enhances. It's a nice sauce, isn't it?
Yeah, really nice. And it, as you said, it was quite easy to make.
Very easy. Here you go.
Okay, here we go.
Oyster time.
Oyster time.
Okay, so again, we got some fresh coriander here. We got some ginger in here, some fish sauce, some brown sugar, a little bit of smoked chilies, and yeah, that's it.
It feels so funny to be even holding the shell. I feel like, you know, like a six-year-old at the beach, I should be using this to dig up sand.
Oh, this feels like
sandcastle.
We should be cheers and cheers. Yeah, cheers. You know. Good protein. Obviously, there's lots of great properties.
I'm not going to lie. That was lovely. And the texture, I'm getting used to the texture. But as I let it go down my throat, I could hear it and feel it breaking away from the shell.
Yeah.
I wasn't too mad on that.
No.
Just hearing it.
But you can see how the flavour would slowly wear on you. You can definitely...
Well, yeah. And I'd say even though, like... That was it's not an experience that I would imagine you don't like leave an oyster lying around in your mouth for a couple of minutes chewing away in it. It's a quick eating experience, but I'd imagine after a couple of them you'd feel quite full, because as you say, there's a lot of protein.
Protein in them, and there's a lot of obviously good properties. I'm not going to begin to go into those because I'm no dietitian, and there's probably dietitians listening. But yeah, it's all protein. You're going to fill up very fast on them. You know, there's no better time. There's also an aphrodisiac. So Valentine's Day, any kind of nice date nights, date evenings on the beach. You know, I mean, the list goes on.
Okay, there you go. It's an aphrodisiac, guys. For that reason alone, I'm sure oysters
will be... We have one more left here.
Very, very popular.
So, what are you thinking overall? Is it not... You've experienced mussels there a few weeks back, and now you have an oyster. Something you would order?
I think so. Obviously, they're similar, because they're both shellfish. The mussels were smaller.
Yeah.
And cooked, and less...
Slimy?
Yeah, I was going to say smooth, because I don't want the word slimy to put listeners off if they're thinking about eating oysters.
But well, let's face it,
just unusual.
It's a raw item. You know, and again, I think it's an acquired taste, a lot like blue cheese. I guess I'm comparing comparing oysters to blue cheese. So here's your one. Okay. Here's your last one. You got the water beside you.
Yeah. Okay, and this one has you've put the sauce on this one again?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here I go.
And that is breakfast.
Again, lovely with the sauce. I suppose I'm stating the obvious. It's nicer with the sauce. But yeah, that was actually...
You can feel the background flavour of it. Obviously, the fish sauce and stuff is quite strong. But
I don't mind that.
It adds to the flavour. I think it adds to things. It adds to what's going on in that shell.
Yeah, no, I've got that. The aftertaste is nice.
Yeah.
If you're kind of iffy about fish, you're not mad on fish, I would say stay away from oysters, because the taste of fish in your mouth, it's with me since I've started eating them.
Yeah, I can taste it now. It's coming back to me now.
That would probably be off-putting for you, but I think in general, that's quite nice. I've
would you order them? Would you order if you got six up and you were there with your wife or partner or whatever girlfriend?
And I needed an aphrodisiac.
yeah. Would do you think you'd order six of them, three each?
I think I
good talking point.
Well, I will say this. I would have to order. I don't know, six the minimum amount you can order, but I'd have to find somebody else to eat the other three because my wife and fish don't get on.
No.
So if I can barely get her to eat a fish, I think oysters might be step too far.
Oysters might be out of it.
Yeah, but I would definitely eat three. Would that do as a main course? Would there be enough in that to fill you, or would that be more of a starter?
Well, what some restaurants do is obviously they have a starter there, you know, sharing platters. They also do, I wouldn't say a main course, no, but you can also have stuffed oysters. So they take it out, they cook them, and then they cook basically put breadcrumbs, they mix in whatever they would like in the breadcrumbs, and they throw them in the oven and cook them. And that's quite nice as well. All the seawater and flavors get into the breadcrumbs and really beefs it up quite a bit. So that can be quite filling if you eat eight of those. But normally it's for a starter. It's served with some Prosecco, some champagne. They're usually something you bring out on a big day.
Yeah.
Or if you're just down in La Hinch or down in Doolin and you're wanting to enjoy yourself and feel a bit adventurous.
Well, something tells me there's going to be a lot of oysters eaten in La Hinch this summer, if not just by yourself, Randy. I don't know, is it something you do on the menu or thinking
about
it? No,
it's nothing we do on the menu at the moment. I don't know if we come to it. I think it's more of a special item for us. You know, on the beachfront, sunny days come up, you know, the place is going to be flooded, so probably get some oysters in and do it that way.
Okay.
There is, however, a lot of places around the area that do them. And you can get them in abundance, especially in the summertime around Ireland. There's a lot of places doing oysters. And more importantly, there are a lot of places growing oysters.
Okay, well, I've eaten four oysters for the first time in my life. And it was, I would say, reasonably pleasant.
Okay.
And maybe I won't need to eat as much lunch at lunchtime. Because I got a lot of protein in me
did
now.
Did you? Do you feel full after that?
Not full.
Something feels like something has gone in there, though, and definitely... Well, the hunger's gone.
After
my breakfast.
After four oysters, the hunger pangs would want to have eased off a little bit. Well, okay, time to read out some of the listeners' questions. Remember, sure. Two 20 euro vouchers to give away for Randaddy's restaurant in La Hinch. We're going to give you till the end of today's show to send them in, but I'll read the ones that have come in so far to Randy. Okay, listener here, Randy, wondering what is the best way to cook meat on a barbecue?
What is the best way to cook meat? It really depends on what... what meat you have going on the barbecue. Obviously, the barbecue needs to be piping hot, which is what I would say. You want a piping hot barbecue. If you have chicken, I like to marinate the chicken in salt water or some kind of yogurt marination. What that does is infuse the chicken with loads of plenty of juices, so it stops you or definitely gives you a chance from not overcooking the chicken. I think that's something that people get in trouble with lots is overcooking chicken, overcooking their meats. So typically the best way to do barbecues is definitely piping hot.
Okay, and by piping hot, are we talking about, do you need to heat the barbecue up for like 10 minutes?
Or? I heat my barbecue up for a long time to clean it off. I'll heat it up for 20 minutes. I'll get it as hot as I can go, because those first two sears is that's what's really going to seal in the stuff. That's where all your juice drips down, hits those awesome coals, bounces back up, and puts the smoky flavor into your meats.
This is why we have this guy in it. No, that's what really happened in a barbecue.
Yeah, that's how they work. Yeah. It's actually getting me hungry and excited. You see in my eyes. So yeah, you really want to have a piping hot barbecue for your meats. That's the best thing I could say when it comes to barbecuing. And obviously marinate and all that stuff.
Okay, one in here on 086 1800 964 asking, Randy, what is your favorite breakfast food? Is it oysters?
My favorite breakfast food? I'd have to say pancakes and maple syrup.
Ah, like a good Canadian.
Pancakes and maple syrup by far, or French toast and maple syrup. It's always, you know, when I'm ever at the restaurants, I'm always saying, you know, can I get pancakes and maple syrup? I say extra maple syrup, and I always have to add the comment, I'm Canadian.
Yeah, no,
just so they don't think of it. I mean, obviously you're weird saying you're Canadian, but at least they know I'm from Canada. That's the way we do it, you know.
And I remember the first few times you came in, and I'm not saying that I love maple syrup and I love pancakes and maple syrup, but every recipe or food you were bringing in seemed to have an element of maple syrup in it. So I was impressed at how you were working it in.
Absolutely. Yeah. So no, favorite breakfast, and then I love a good scrambled eggs. You know, I think I love a lot of different flavors. You know, especially when I'm eating nighttime, but the morning time, maple syrup, crispy bacon. So you got the sweet, the salty crispy bacon giving you the crunch in there, and then a little bit of, you know, strawberries on top. You get that, you know, last little bit of sweetness in there. Yeah, that's what I want. And a nice lob of butter. Oh, man.
Butter as well. Wowzers.
Oh, yeah, it's a heart attack on a plate.
I was just going to say.
Heart attack on a plate.
Do a long old session at the gym after that. Kate in Killaloe is asking you, what are the best herbs and spices to cook with for optimal flavour?
Herbs and spices. Well, I've spent a lot of time in Asia, so I like to... I think one great chef told me, you know, learn five good spices back to front. And what that means is manipulating sauces, manipulating things. So, example, a lot of cumin does something. A little bit of cumin does something. So background flavors, are, I think, are really, really important in cooking. So if you got... I think the flavors to learn to cook with are the ones that you love the best. That's the first start.
Okay.
And learning how to manipulate those flavors, and like I just said, is a little bit of that ingredient does that much, because you don't always want to taste that ingredient inside. You want to taste it from the background. So I like cooking. I have a chili oil in the back of my pocket, which has five different ingredients in it. I use that quite a bit in different flavors, and I might use the chili part of it, or I might just use the oil. I definitely have some good oils at disposal. I definitely have, you know, some cumin, coriander is always in my pantry. I like using those. They're widely used around the world, not just in India. They're widely used around the world. Okay. You know, for fresh herbs, I love coriander. I love fresh coriander. I love oregano. I know how to use those very well. And then I think picking a couple vegetables, like tomatoes. Tomatoes is something I use in my cooking lots, whether it be for a sauce, for a puree, for roasting them down. I just love using tomatoes. I'm very good with those. You know, so does that answer the question, you think?
I think so, yeah. And just thinking, if we didn't
olive
know
oils,
yet,
garlics, you know, again, it's about picking the five ones I think you enjoy the most and learning how to use those. What you know, and a little bit does a lot, you know.
And I guess, as you always say with cooking, there's always an element of experimentation.
Absolutely.
As well. Right, last question for you now from Michelle in Kilrush, who says she's a borderline diabetic and loves pasta. What would be the best low-sugar dish to cook?
Low-sugar, you're asking the wrong guy, I'll be honest with you.
Pardon the pun.
So, I guess if I had to answer that question, being a chef and not a dietitian, low-sugar, I mean... you know, you'd have to know more about the diet. You know, can it be natural sugars or not? Because, I mean, obviously tomatoes have yeah. some sugar in them, you know. So to answer that question, I wouldn't want to begin to answer that question. But what I would, if somebody asked me for that, I would say I'd be using some oils, some garlic, you know, staying away from the tomato sauces, probably staying away from cream, because I'd say there's a pretty big element of sugar and cream, because yeah. that burns quite easily, and anything that burns easily has sugar in it. That's how you get caramelization. Is anything that caramelizes has sugar in it. Okay. So that's your meats have sugar in it and all that stuff. So I'd use very light sauces, use some butters, use a bit of, you know, olive oils, and make up your own oils, and use fresh vegetables to flavor up your sauce.
Okay, good suggestion there. That's it for now, but we will give you to the end of the programme to continue sending in your food-related questions, and we have those two 20-euro vouchers to give away for Randaddy's, a restaurant in Lahinch. For the moment, Randy Lewis, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
For the oyster experience.
That's great.
He's opening my eyes up in the culinary world. We'll chat to you again soon. Thanks very much. It's 0818 400 964 to call us. You can text or WhatsApp us on 086 1800 964. We're going to have a preview of this weekend's Atlantic Tales. That's coming up next.